So today I'm going to be talking about Vineyard Nation. As lots of sports teams nowadays are called, whatever, Blue Jays Nation or Canucks Nation or things like that. We're going to talk about our identity and our nationality as a church and really what that really means as Christians. So throughout the day, I'm going to be talking about who you are, identity, and nationality, and they all really mean the same thing for what I'm saying. So I'm going to use those words interchangeably today. So when I was thinking about this message and really who you are, I was reminded of a commercial that came out 12 years ago about being Canadian. So I just wanted to start with that video, so we'll just throw that up there.
Hey, I'm not a lumberjack or a fur trader, and I don't live in an igloo or eat blubber or own a dog sled. And I don't know Jimmy, Sally, or Susie from Canada, although I'm certain they're really, really nice. I have a prime minister, not a president. I speak English and French, not American, and I pronounce it about, not a boot. I can proudly sew my country's flag on my backpack. I believe in peacekeeping, not policing, diversity, not assimilation, and that the beaver is a truly proud and noble animal. The tooth is a hat. Chesterfield is a coach, and it is pronounced Zed, not Z-Zed. Canada is the second largest landmass, the first nation of hockey, and the best part of North America. My name is Joe, and I am Canadian.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to be talking a little bit about our nationality and who we are. And when I was thinking about this, I thought about some different things that I identified with throughout my life. And when I was around 10 years old, I thought I was going to grow up and be a rock star. And then I wanted to become a basketball player at one point in my life. But a really big part of who I was, especially as a teenager, was I wanted to become a football player. And that was really who I was. I would spend so much time thinking about it. I would even make playbooks from a young age. And that was just fun for me for some reason because it was who I was. I would go to practices and I would work really hard because that's what I wanted to become. It was who I was. I would spend lots of time just watching famous players and try to mimic what they were doing. I remember after football seasons, every year, when it was over, when I didn't have those practices anymore, I'd feel like I lost a little bit of part of me. I didn't know what to do with all the free time that practices and games didn't take up. Because that's not who I really was. Each of us really have different identities, and it's not just one area of your life that's going to make who you are. For some of you, maybe it is a sport like it was for me, or maybe you're cheering for a sports team and you're part of whatever, the 12th man of the Seahawks or the Blue Jays Nation or Canucks Nation or something like that, and that's part. We the North, yeah, they're doing, hopefully tonight they win, the Raptors. So that might be part of who you are. Or maybe you're really proud to be Canadian like Joe is, and you really care about what's going on. You always cheer on the hockey teams and the Olympics and things like that. And that's part of who you are. And you maybe go to Tim Hortons just because it's a Canadian thing. And you say sorry a lot or whatever else you consider being Canadian. Yeah, exactly. There you go. Hey. Maybe part of who you are is your job. And I think that's a lot of people. And you're a proud electrician or a proud engineer or whatever you do really defines what you are. Your family is also a big part of who you are as a person. And you might want to be the mom that sacrifices more than any other mom. Or maybe the dad who provides the best gadgets for his kids. And you want to show off your kids or you want to show who you are or your show off your spouse or whatever it is. That can really be a big part of who we are. Some good ways to figure out who you are, because you might have some thoughts going on and thinking, what's this? But I realize some questions that can really picture for you who you are. The first thing is, how do you identify yourself or introduce yourself to new people? Do you talk about your job first? Do you talk about your family first? Do you talk about a hobby first or a sports team? Or what do you ask other people first? Do you ask them what they do for a job, about their family? Because chances are what you ask other people is actually what you care about. What do you spend your free time thinking about? when you have nothing else to think about it? Is it getting that next client in your job, or getting a promotion, or showing off how good you are at your job? Or maybe it's your family and you're worried about your kids and what they're doing at this instant when they're at school, or how people are thinking of them. Or maybe you can think about how you spend your free time, how you spend your money. All those things really come to who you are. And we're going to talk about that today. And we're going to look at what a guy named Peter saw as his nationality. Now, for those of you that might not be as familiar with the Bible, Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends when he was on the earth. He hung out with him for at least 3 years, probably about 3.5 years. He ate with him, he walked with him, he saw Jesus do incredible things. Jesus even healed his mother-in-law who could have died. Peter was really starting to connect with Jesus during these times. And he wanted to connect his nationality, his identity, to Jesus' identity and what Jesus was bringing. And Peter was bold. He was brash. So he did some pretty cool things. I mean, he went for a jog in the middle of the lake. He walked on water. He also was one of the first people to give a clear identity that Jesus was Messiah. He was the one who was God coming to save the world. Peter was also one of the ones, the only ones that followed Jesus when everyone else fled, when he was taken into custody. He was really wanting to connect with Jesus because he thought Jesus was bringing the kind of kingdom, the kind of empire that the Roman Empire was, one that ruled with an iron fist but would bring peace to his people, one that would come over like a military power. And he wanted to connect that with Jesus because he wanted to live in the palace. He wanted to live in the kingdom with Jesus forever. But that wasn't what Jesus' kingdom was actually about. Jesus was bringing a different kind of nation. And because Peter didn't quite understand this, he also made some pretty big mistakes. At one point, Jesus was talking about himself dying. And Peter's like, "You can't die. You're the Messiah. You're going to be the king forever." Jesus tells him, "Get behind me, Satan." I don't know if any of you have been called Satan by Jesus before, but that would probably change a little bit about you. He also pulled out a sword at one point when Jesus was about to get arrested. And he went and he was going to take on a whole battalion of guards by himself somehow. And Jesus said, "No, this is not the kingdom I mean. This is not the kingdom I will be bringing." We actually get to look at some of the words that Peter writes later on. Because Peter's mindset changed. And it wasn't after this point, it wasn't after Jesus teaching him time after time after time. It was after Jesus' death and resurrection. And after this happened, he started to understand. And more and more and more, God revealed himself and what his plan, what his kingdom, and who Peter's nationality would really be. So Peter actually talked about this nationality to a church, and he sent a letter to them. And luckily that letter was copied, and they thought it was amazing, so they copied it over and over and over again. And now that copy of that letter is in the Bible today in 1 Peter 2:9-12. We're going to start off, we're just going to look at verses 9 and 10 though. "But you are not like that, that for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy." Jesus is saying, "I can give you a new nationality. I can give you a new identity." Now, what this is based on, though, is what we're going to be talking about the rest of the time. Because just before this section, Peter doesn't talk about going to church on Sunday morning. He doesn't talk about reading your Bible every day of the week for at least 15 minutes, and then you're going to be part of this nation. Peter talks about Jesus and how Jesus is the cornerstone of our lives. Because what Peter learned is that the nationality that he is isn't about what he does, but is about what Jesus has done and our belief in that. So the rest of today, I'm going to talk about this simple principle. And it's true not in just Christianity, it's true in everything in our lives. The principle is, what you believe will dictate who you are. So in this situation, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood, all those things that he's talking about there. The next step, though, is that who you are will dictate what you do. What you believe will dictate who you are, and who you are will dictate what you do. For instance, outside of this biblical concept, if you believe Canada is the greatest country in the world, or you believe Canada is the best place for you to live, maybe it's because it's just easier to live here, or maybe because you've never gone anywhere else, whatever it is, you're going to be Canadian, because you're going to be living here. You're going to get a Canadian citizenship, and chances are you're going to start doing Canadian things, whatever that is.
Sorry.
Exactly. In the commercial, I was actually, it helped frame my message, because he doesn't get excited about what Canadians do. He doesn't even really talk about it. He talks about what they believe in. He talks about believing in peace, diversity, and that the beaver is a truly noble animal. We don't get excited about doing things. We get excited about beliefs, because what you believe will dictate who you are. And who you are will dictate what you do. Chances are in your life, your biggest mistake was made not because it's starting from what you did, it started with the wrong belief. Maybe your wrong belief is trusting somebody you shouldn't have, and that happened. Or maybe you trusted in yourself when you shouldn't have trusted in yourself in a certain situation. Maybe you had a wrong belief that you had a wrong priority. For me, one of those priorities was partying in college, and that was some of my big mistakes in life, was from that belief that that was more important than a relationship with God and who Jesus is. So that wrong belief will change who you are, and eventually, it'll cause you to make mistakes. We can see this in so many different aspects of our lives, and whether you're a parent or your whatever job you're doing, all these things really come from what you believe is important. Will change who you are, will affect what you do. I think something that really irks me and really irks everybody is when people are just trying to fit in the wrong situation. So they're trying to do something that isn't who they are. There's some awkward kids in high school is the easiest picture for me, that they're just trying to fit in with the cool kids, so they talk about liking this band that they don't like, or they talk about playing the sport that they don't have any idea what it's about. And it's really easy to see through that. It's really easy to say, that's not who you are. Because who we are should affect what we do. It happens in church too, unfortunately. So many people do church. They come to church an hour a week. It doesn't change anything in their lives. The only difference between your life and your neighbor's life, who, whatever, does all the non-Christian things, doesn't follow Jesus, is that 2 hours on Sunday, people come to church. Christians will try to fit in reading their Bible whenever it works. Or they'll try to fit in with their Christian friends, so they might use some Christian jargon that nobody really understands anymore. We can try to fit in our Christianity, but if it's not who you are, and if it's not founded on something you believe in, you're just trying to fit in. Maybe you're trying to fit in because you just have always come to church. Or maybe you're trying to fit in because you think that that's the best way to get into heaven by doing these right things or checking these boxes or trying to get rid of the guilt of whatever you did on Saturday night beforehand. But if what you're doing is not who you are, you're just that awkward kid in high school who doesn't belong. We're going to talk more about this and how to get into this, but it really should affect our lives and everything we do. should come from our beliefs. And too often we let other beliefs cloud who we are. Sometimes we realize it, sometimes we don't. But really it's what we're focusing on in our lives. And there can be a lot of really good things that we can focus on, but if you're a follower of Jesus, your true identity, who you are, your nationality, should be founded on that belief, changing who you are. Because Peter's talking about a better nationality here. It's different than the world. He's not just talking about fitting in, reading your Bible, not fitting in church when it works. He's talking about living the Christian life. He's talking about being the church. It's not something that you do when it works, or you're nice to your neighbor because you can check a mark and say, hey, God, look at me, I'm cool, I'm nice to my neighbor. You can do it because that is who he has made you to be. Because you believe in him. Because he's forgiven your sins. Because he's made you a new creation and you can do all these things. Too often we get distracted by the world and we get distracted by money or power or jobs and whatever other things are being thrown at us. But God has called us to a different life. And Peter goes on to talk about that in verse 11 and 12. And he says, dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they'll give honor to God when he judges the world. He's calling us to a different kind of lifestyle. A lifestyle that's not based on your ego or your pride or money or any of those kinds of things. It's not based on owning the next the cool gadget or having the nicest home or having the nicest boat. It's not about you being the most attractive person or the smartest person or you being the best at your job or best whatever. He's not talking about a lifestyle based around comfort and ease that can so easily become a god in our Western culture. He's saying, if you believe that Jesus is God, that is what's most important. And in that first verse that we talked about, there's the beliefs making us a new creation, and it talks about the do. And the do is to show others the goodness of God. And that should permeate whatever we do. Because that is our identity. Because that is what we believe. So our priorities aren't jobs and even parenting or even doing all these other that can be good things. Making more money, all those things. Our identity. And what we do is all to show others the goodness of God. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying all of you need to quit your jobs and go live in Africa or anything like that. But it might shift a little bit of the purpose of your job. Your job might not be to get the next raise or to show off to your boss. Your purpose in your job is to show others the goodness of God. Maybe that's working hard. Maybe that's doing things the ethical way, even though it's a little bit tougher. Maybe it's something as simple as showing up on time. If you are asked to do some unethical or illegal things or things that you just can't agree with, maybe you do need to quit. But otherwise, your employees, your boss, they need to see the goodness of God. Whether they're Christians, whether they're not Christians, whoever they are, your nationality is now not based on your job performance. It's based on showing others the goodness of God. So that would be your purpose. It's who you are. Parents, I implore you to keep parenting your kids well. But the purpose isn't so that you can show off how well-behaved your kids are. And your purpose isn't to maybe even get them to college and university and all these things. Your purpose isn't so that your kids love you. Your purpose is to show them the goodness of God. Because that will transform their life. That will show who you are, who they can be, based on a belief that Jesus is Lord. And then hopefully they can go out and show it to their classmates, because the schools desperately need it today. In 10 years, they'll desperately need to see the goodness of God. And that's why you show the goodness of God. Those of you with hobbies and things like that, keep doing your hobbies, keep doing those things. Just because you enjoy doing something doesn't mean you have to stop and only read your Bible for the rest of your life. But your purpose might change. Instead of it being a selfish, completely thing, and to show off how good you are or to get the whatever, you want to show the goodness of God in it. So maybe that's doing it to bring joy to others. And I don't know what your hobbies are or interests are, but I'm sure just painting and showing off a painting can do that. Or if you're building something, maybe you can invite somebody to come with you and do it, and you can mentor them and show God's goodness through helping them learn. I don't know what all you guys have as your identity in these big things, but if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, what you do should link to it. What you think about should link to it. How you spend your money, how you spend your time. Earlier in this chapter, Peter talks about craving spiritual milk. When's the last time that we craved reading our Bibles? When's the last time we craved just praying and talking to God? As much as we crave our sports team winning the game, or we crave our kid getting an A in class, or we crave whatever else is going on in our minds. It's not because we're doing it well enough. It's because we're not believing what Jesus has done for us. Because if we believe, what you believe will dictate who you are, which will dictate what you do. So, coming to church is not about doing it once a week. It's about taking it into your life. If you are just coming here and it's just kind of just this thing that you spend a couple hours, maybe it makes you feel good, but you go back into your car and your rest of your week is no different. Either the church is missing something or you're missing the purpose of the church. I don't know what it is, but our purpose of the church is so that you will not just come here and have 2 hours affected, but it will change your lives. And because it has changed your lives and who you are, it will change other people's lives. It's what you were made to do as a new creation. Because of what Jesus has done for us and our belief in that, we want to read our Bible. We want to pray to get to know Him more and see Him work in both our own selves and in the dire situations in the world, and in the people who are hurting in Fort Mac, and the people who are oppressed all over the world. And we want to see God work, so we care about them, and we want everybody to see God's goodness, so we ask for God to do these things. We come to church, we serve others, we love others, we forgive others, we encourage others so that they can see the goodness of God. Because that's who we are, because that's what we believe. But don't let the world cloud your beliefs. Paul, in another verse in the Bible, talks about striving towards the goal. Don't let anything else hinder you. He actually says throw off everything else that hinders us, because it can so easily cloud our minds. It can go so easily cloud our beliefs. There might be things in your life that you're realizing that your belief system might be a little bit off. And he just asks you, throw them off, because Jesus is Lord, and it will change who you are, which will affect what you do. That's what this whole series is about. The don't just come to church, be the church. The church today is, in Western culture, is probably more persecuted than any time in recent history. And most likely, it's just going to get more persecuted. Peter was actually writing this to a persecuted church. Many people say that that was the reason that he made this letter. But the good news is that when the church is persecuted, it flourishes. It grows. Because when someone is persecuted, when someone is being pushed in their life, when someone is being hit by a river and trying to go somewhere, you can either let go or you can hold on tighter to what you believe in. And when the church realizes that Jesus can be held on to in the toughest times, in the most difficult times, that he will come through for us, he will help us, they understand more of what they can be and who they are, and it will change what they do. So persecution isn't a bad thing. Difficult times in our lives, I know they're difficult, I know they're tough. But if we realize who God is and that we can trust in him in all those situations, they can result in good. They can result in our benefit. So what do we as a church want to do? We have a value of this church, or our vision of a church, is to know and make known the unsurpassable love of Christ. Now, that vision is why we have people out in the parking lot on days and a greeter, and what the Sunday school people, and why we have coffee here, and why we even decorate the church, is because we want people to come here to know and make known the unsurpassable love of Christ. But like I said earlier, if you come and you know it for 2 hours and you leave the same, we failed. We want you to not just come to church, but to take the church to your work, to take the church to your family. We want you to be the church, like breathing. It all starts from belief. Some of you may be struggling with belief right now. And I've been through that so many times. What is this God and who is this? And I'm going to get a little bit more into that. But I was reminded just in the music earlier, there's a Roman officer who is, I forget if it was his servant or his son. There's two stories and I get them mixed up. But Jesus asks him, well, do you believe that I can heal your son? The Roman officer says, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Some of you may believe, but you need to overcome some unbelief. It might be in just a certain area in your life that you're just struggling to trust God that his will is happening in a certain area. Or that he's really good. Or maybe you're struggling to know that he's real. You can ask him to help you overcome your unbelief. Because what we believe will change who we are, dictate what we do. And we're going to give you guys in a minute here a chance to respond. And maybe if you want some prayer from somebody else, to pray for that. But there might be here some people here who have never really known God's love. Maybe you've never really understood who he is or what Jesus has done or what that really means in our lives. And maybe you're curious about joining this Jesus nation or having your identity changed and you're not sure how. Jesus has actually made it simple for us. What he asks you to do is to believe. Believe that he, as God, came to die for your sins. And no matter what you've done in the past, that his death will forgive you. And because you believe that, he'll change who you are. He'll make you righteous. He'll make you holy. And he asks you to commit to follow him. Doesn't mean you're going to get everything right here and there, because just like the Roman officer said, help me overcome my unbelief. I don't have all my beliefs figured out. I still believe in myself too much when I need to believe in God. I still believe in safety and comfort and whatever, some things that I probably shouldn't believe, and that affects who I am, and it affects what I do, and I screw up, and I go back to God and say, hey, God, help me out. I need a better belief. Help me overcome my unbelief. So if that's you, and you want to just say, yeah, Jesus, I want to believe in you so that you can change who I am, and I want to commit to follow you, we're going to give you a minute to come up and just a chance to choose to believe. But I hope today each person here can realize that because of what you believe and because of who you are, you're able to go out and show others the goodness of God. Because you believe that he died for you, you can go out and serve other people. Because you believe that he has encouraged you through difficult times, you can encourage others. Because you believe that he has served us, you can serve others. Because you believe that he has loved us so deeply, you can go out and love others. Because he's loved you when you're unlovable, you can love other people when they're unlovable. Not to fit in, but it's because who you are. This week, I hope this hour and a half that you're here, you're not just doing church. You're becoming the church. Because you're realizing a God who loves you will change who you are, will affect what you do. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for each person here. Thank you that you care deeply and that you're yearning for them to have a deeper belief in you. I thank you that you have changed who we are to become just a better picture of who you are. And I pray that you'd help us take that into our lives. That you would just help us to just be the church, God. If there is any wrong beliefs right now, God, and people, and that they're believing in the wrong thing, and they have, maybe it's about you, maybe it's about something else in our lives that is distracting us. I just pray that you would just show it to us.